I trust that that song will portray the great love of God that I want to speak to you about this morning in the scriptures that I want to use, and concerning the grace of God, that grace of God which is indescribable, but yet God has been so loving toward his people until that he has granted us that grace. The scripture lesson this morning will be taken from John in the first chapter, verses 14 through 18. I'm not going to read that in the beginning because we're going to use those verses as we go through the text this morning, and I hope and trust that your hearts will be lifted up via this. In the verse 16 is our text verse. That verse says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Now the Greek word for the word grace, as used here and throughout the New Testament, it's speaking of Jesus Christ and the gift of God, and the Greek word is charis. We know that we have heard that word many times in the recent past as being a word maybe that we have drawn the wrong conclusion from. And I do believe that charis, as it's given here in the Bible, it simply means the graciousness of manner or act, especially in the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life. The same word is charismai, which is a little added to that, and it's another form of the same word, and it means to grant favor, such as graciousness, in kindness, in pardon, and in rescue, means to deliver, to forgive, to grant. Now, I brought this out rather lengthy just now, but I hope and trust that we can understand from this that grace is more than just an unmerited favor. It is that and yet more. What we have received is called grace. In verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In verse 16, it says, "And of his fullness have we all received." Verse 17, I'm going through this, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Christ," Jesus Christ. When we have made the statement that we have received grace, it simply means that we have received the divine influence of God upon the heart and in the reflection of our lives. That reflection should be great. So as we think of this, I want us to look at this for just a little bit, if we could. We have received the gracious act of Jesus Christ. Now that is a statement that it's hard for me to comprehend, and I believe that when you really think about it, maybe you can't comprehend it in its fullness either. We receive pardon, we have been rescued, we have been forgiven, we have been granted new life. All of these things have come by the grace of God as it was given by Christ Jesus our Lord. We have received that pardon, and in verse 12 and 13, we find that something that's added to it. It says, "But as many as have received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The sentence doesn't end there, but the verse goes on. It says, "Which were born not of blood," meaning the natural birth, "nor of the will of the flesh." It was not the will of the unregenerate man that brought this about, "nor of the will of man, but of God." Now we can leave all of this descriptive part out, and we can say simply, "which were born of God." Brothers and sisters, as we think about this, I believe that we try to comprehend it, and what this grace is, that it was granted by God, and it's more than just a favor from God, but it gave all of these things, then we could say, "which were born of God." Now this means that we as human beings had nothing to do with that birth. I've mentioned this before, I want to mention it again, just as a child is born into the world, it didn't come by its own will, but it came by the will of the father and the mother, who conceived that child, and it was born. After it was born, we find then it had some actions of its own. It could go about doing things of its own as it grew older, but in the birth had nothing to do with it. And I believe that as we begin to compare this with our birth in Christ, being regenerated and born of the Spirit of God, that we would have to confess and admit on our bended knees that we had nothing to do with that birth, but we were born of God. Now, it says, to these gave you power to become the sons of God. We were given that grace in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We find this given to us in Ephesians in the first chapter and in the fourth verse. It's very familiar to you, I know, because I've preached about it before. And I believe that as we begin to see this, we can see that there was a determination on the part of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, this adds something. I think that this is coming to our part as we return our thoughts toward God in thankfulness for the grace that is given to us. He said, for we are His workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's something that we were ordained to do, and that was that after grace is given, that we were ordained to walk in the graciousness and in the goodness of God. Our lives should return something to God. Now, in this, we have received grace for grace. We've received grace because we have come from Him and was full of grace and truth. And, you know, when you think about it, what else could God have given? It's the greatest thing He could give, but what else could He give if He Himself was full of grace and truth? If He gave anything, it would have to be that grace. So He did give it to us, and it's wonderful when we think about it. The grace given, it works grace in us. Therefore, grace to work grace is given to us by God. And it is a command of God. It is an ordination of God that we have received grace for the grace that we return back in worship to God. We can only know that God, through grace, who man cometh to the Father, no man cometh to the Father, but by me. So we find that Jesus is saying that grace for grace is the fact that no man comes to the Father except by me. Brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to know that there are certain things that are placed upon this that leaves it in the hand of God, and that's the safest hand it can be in. Grace to be exercised by ourselves, such as graciousness. I believe it's a habit for gracious acts in which that God has given us the power to do. He gave us power to become sons of God, and so in that power, I think that it is in our power given of God that we can return the worship that is due His high and holy name. In Ephesians, in the third chapter, verses 7 and 8, whereof I was made a minister, Paul is saying this, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift, the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto whom who am less than the least of all saints, that is grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we see that Paul is saying that our voucher for gracious performance to others is grace. It's nothing else. It's a voucher that God has given us, whereby that He says that He was made a minister among the Gentiles to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. In Romans, in the first chapter and in the fifth verse, we find He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His for his name. Brothers and sisters, what ability and what power and what authority do we have to preach the gospel unless that it's by the grace of God? He's given us that grace. I want to mention again that that grace is our voucher, whereby that God has given to us that we can take that and we can spend our lives in preaching and teaching the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. We are given New Testament grace to substitute for Old Testament grace. Now that may sound like an odd statement, something that substitutes for the same grace, but grace was different. It wasn't a different plan, it wasn't a different meaning, but yet it was carried out in a different way under the Old Testament than it was under the New Testament. In Galatians, in the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse, maybe we can find an explanation for what Paul has said there. And he said, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." In verse 9, he said, "So then we which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Isn't it wonderful? The Bible says that we are children of faith by Abraham. We're children of Abraham by faith, I suppose I should say. But in faith, God blessed faithful Abraham because that the gospel was preached to him before. That gospel said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." That seed was one who was Jesus Christ our Lord. In 2 Corinthians, in the 3rd chapter, verses 6 and 9, let's see, verse 6 and then verse 9 and 10, we find that it said, Paul said, "Who," meaning God, "hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. For if the ministration of the ministration of condemnation were glory, then how much more should the administration of righteousness exceed in glory? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in that respect by reason of the glory of that excelleth it." Now, speaking of the glory of the law, speaking of the glory that was given through the law to the children of Israel, the glory that often came down upon the mountaintop and roared as thunder there, and the voice that spoke was as a thundering voice, speaking of the glory of God. Now, that was glory, wasn't it? But yet he said, the glory which we have received far exceeds that Old Testament glory. And so if that glory exceeds the Old Testament glory, then I believe the administration of grace under the New Testament far exceeds that which was the Old Testament. So it said that we are blessed in faithful Abraham because the gospel was preached to him. Speaking of that seed, now we're given grace. We're given unveiled grace. Let me say it like that. We are given unveiled grace in the New Testament the veiled grace of the Old Testament. Let's go just a little farther with this. Good. Grace for grace means a continuance or perfection of the shown grace of God under the law. And perfection means simply coming to the fullness of it. And so we came into the fullness of that because that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary and gave us such a wonderful grace and truth that we can speak about it in far greater terms and with more authority than is spoken of in the Old Testament. I want us to look at something else. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Go back to verse 14 of the first chapter of John, if you would. Verse 14 states that he is full of grace and truth. Verse 17 states that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This is the greatness of it, brothers and sisters. Whether we understand it or whether we don't, we find that God showed such greatness until that Jesus was full of grace and truth. The word meaning Jesus Christ, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. And then that is something that is far more glorious than the law. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That which was given to Moses, or given by Moses, was a terrifying and threatening appearance. And it was bound with penalties. But when we find the truth that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, the binding of those penalties, we find that it is not such as He speaks. Instead of the thunderous tones on the mountaintop, we find that Jesus sat there and He broke bread. A little boy that had bread and had fish, Jesus took that, and He fed a multitude of people there. And that multitude, while that they were eating, I believe that Jesus spoke not as lightning and thunder, but He spoke with a gentle voice. And that gentle voice, I believe, that in the most gracious terms that I know how to say it is, that He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you life. I will give you rest." The gospel of grace, which is Christ, is full of truth, which gives happiness. And I believe it's the duty of each individual therein to restore or to give something back to God in the form of our obedience. And I don't think that's too much to ask. The grace and truth reaches us. It reaches out to us. Not only does it reach to us, but it teaches us. And I believe that as we find that, we can see it in the words of Paul as he wrote to Titus, in chapter 2 of Titus, verses 11 through 14. I'm going to try to read all of that. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." There's much made in this day and time about that particular statement, but I want to go on with this, because we can see something that qualifies that statement, given to all men. I want us to see who all men are. It says, "teaching us." Now, all men are those that have been born of the Spirit of God. We, teaching us, that have been born of the Spirit of God, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, that we should be sober and righteous and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now, I don't think we have any right to sit down on the job. He said that He's done all these things for us. Now, to purify people zealous of good works, we should have zeal about this. Zeal according to godliness. Going on to Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, as we think about these things this morning, and the grace of God that is unmerited, that gave not only favor, but gave life, and life eternal, that He has redeemed unto us, unto Himself, a people that should be zealous of good works. We ought to go about spending our time in the greatness of God, teaching and preaching this grace that is undescribable. That grace which came by Jesus Christ and gives to us the fullness, works in us these things that God has spoken to us about throughout His Word. That glory of God that He's worked in us. Let us rejoice in the grace given to us, for this grace is given by Jesus Christ our Lord. It is kavis. It is something that is indescribable, something that we can't speak. And may the Lord bless us together in these things this morning, is my prayer as we go forth into this next week. May the Lord bless you.